chapter 1.
This is the announcement of the arrival of Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But after the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, who is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I love Mary's response in verse 38. I've preached on it before. "I am the Lord's faithful servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
can get some sound now. That's better. Sorry about that little interruption. We are back in Luke chapter 2 now. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn.
Thank you.
chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Right? My bright spot. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written: 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Father, we come today to bring our tithes and offerings, our gifts to you today, Father, for we're so thankful for all that you provide. And Lord, we're just today especially thankful for the birth of Jesus, for his coming into the world and growing up to die for our sins. We thank you, Father. Glory to God. So, Father, now as they come to share with you, I ask for your blessings for all of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we head into the time of communion, it's important that we hear the whole story. We know about the birth. We're here today to celebrate the birth. But I'm going to take you to Luke 23. And we're going to be in we're just going to start in 32. And we're going to go to the crucifixion of Jesus. Here's what I'm going to tell you about it. Our God loves us so much that he sent his son knowing this is going to happen. Christmas is a beautiful day. But our God knew Jesus wanted to go through this pain right here. So there were two other men, both were criminals, also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the other criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung with him also hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Do not you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's the beauty of Jesus. While he was hanging there on the cross, he had already been beaten and layers of skin peeled off. But he didn't reach out. He didn't yell out. He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's a promise you have today. And as we go into communion, the guys will pass the elements here in a minute, but everybody should have received the candy cane. If you didn't, there's plenty over there. But I don't want you to necessarily eat the candy cane. I don't care if you do. But I want you to think about this candy cane as we head into Christmas season. Upright, it looks like a staff the shepherds held. Okay? Shepherds use that staff to beat off wolves, beat off bears, whatever. They also use it to catch their sheep. Okay? I don't have one of these in my barn. I probably should. I just chase them around the pen for days. Okay? Upside down, it makes a J, stands for Jesus. The red on the candy cane is meant to show, it signifies God's love for you. And all the stripes on the candy cane signify the blood that Jesus lost for you. And you ever wonder why, when you're eating a candy cane, if you're like me and you just chew it halfway through, you never get to see this. But what happens to all that blood? All those stripes? It disappears. What's under that? It's pure white. That's what God sees when he looks at me because of all the blood Jesus shed. He covered me with all of my sins. And now when God looks at me, he sees that pure white and he just wants to spend eternity with me. And I thank him every day for that because I sure don't deserve it. Let's pray and then we'll pass the elements and you just take them. We'll take them all together as a family. Dear Lord, we just thank you for sending your son to die, to be born, to live here, but then to die on the cross to cover sins of me 2,000 years later. Lord, I don't always understand the vastness of what you did, but I know that you did it for me. And you did it for every Christian in this world. And I love you and I thank you for that. In your name I pray. Amen. Matthew 26. We're going to start in verse 26. Jesus was having a feast with his disciples, and he says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So as we go into Christmas, there's a lot of things we have to be thankful for, a lot to be grateful for. But as we think about that baby that was sent here that day, it's pretty cool. So I'm going to take you back outside of Bethlehem, which Bethlehem was a small town. And the angels appeared to lowly shepherds, gave them the good news and the world that the world had been waiting for. They delivered the holy message of the Savior's arrival. And at once, the shepherds left what they were doing and traveled. Now, shepherds are kind of a lowly profession at that point. They were kind of the tweeners, maybe. They were guys that were strong, physically strong, but they really didn't have a trade other than shepherding. And the Hooglers are all here. Neil's here. Shelby's here. Anybody who's ever worked with sheep, man, you got to be a lunkhead. Okay? Sheep are silly animals. They can't find water. They can't find food. They can't defend themselves. Okay? You have to literally do everything for these sheep. And as we domesticate sheep more and more and more, they get worse. I'm pretty sure in our barn we need to have like a maternity ward and a doctor on staff to deliver sheep because I think they forget how to do anything. Guys, those shepherds left. They left those sheep and said, yeah, what the heck with it? I'm going to see the Savior. We have that same message that the shepherds had gotten. But do we run? Do we drop what we're doing for our God and go? So, as we're, Christmas Eve, right? The night we've been all waiting for all year long. It's finally here tonight. It's here. But guys, I'm here to tell you, Christmas is not something we should celebrate once a year. I mean, it's always going to be on the calendar December 25th. We should have an attitude of Christmas 365, 24/7. Do we really understand what Jesus, what God did that day when he sent his son? And it's a neat story. It's great. We've read the passages. He gave up his one and only son to come down here and live on the earth. It's pretty cool. We've already read the scripture, Luke 2, 8 through 20. But Christmas is finally here. It's Christmas Eve, and families far and wide have gathered together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's during the Christmas season that we identify with centuries of Christ followers who anxiously awaited the advent or the coming of the Messiah. Advent, as we had the lighting of the candle, is a unique time of year when the church remembers the hope, peace, joy, and love that the Christ child brought us brought to all of creation that first Christmas. That moment changed everything, and it was truly a holy night. You see, the very first Christmas set into motion something beautiful that continues even today. Christmas has always been a season where God transforms people's circumstances and redeems all that is broken. A little story I found, and I'm just going to read it so I don't miss anything. I want you to think about this as I'm telling the story. On Christmas Eve night, 1914, something amazing happened. Something that still has the world scratching its head. It was the beginning of World War I, and there was a fierce battle going on in Belgium between the French and the English on one side and the Germans on the other. The battle had reached a stalemate, and each side had bunkered down and dug trenches. They were about 60 to 80 yards apart from one another, and the space between them was called no man's land because no one could venture there and survive. It's estimated that over 100,000 Germans began to sing one of their country's most beloved Christmas carols, Silent Night. And after singing it through several times, something incredible happened. The French and the British joined in on the familiar tune. Unbelievably, that night led to a ceasefire that lasted until New Year's Day. On Christmas Day, each side helped the other bury their dead, and over the next week, they celebrated Christmas together. They played soccer together, they gathered around the same campfires and told stories and laughed into the night. It was a holy night. Neither side could have seen a week of peace being born out of the singing of a Christmas carol. And yet that is exactly what happened. A song about the birth of a baby in Bethlehem who would bring peace on earth brought peace to a war-torn battlefield and for a handful of hours turned enemies into friends. Christmas carols, I love them. Okay? I wish we sang Christmas carols all year long because they're such a reminder of what happened. And just listen to the lyrics of O Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared in the spirit, felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, the night when Christ was born. Pretty cool. And when you think about that, it actually follows the passage, Luke 2, 8 through 20, through the whole synopsis of what happened. I want to focus on just a couple things in this, though. When Mary and Joseph, and again, we know that Mary was a virgin, so we're going to say Mary was between 12 and 16, okay? And her attitude when she was told she was pregnant was amazing, number one. Okay? We have a couple pregnant young ladies in the church today, and I'm not sure what their response was when they found out they were pregnant. They're happy now. I'm not sure what it was then. But they're married, ladies. This was a preteen or a teen, and her response was, make it as it said, I am your servant. That's pretty cool. So we knew right away that this was going to be special. Then throw Joseph into the mix. Joseph was betrothed to be married, means engaged to be married to Mary. And when he found out, because an angel appeared to Joseph, we don't know much about Joseph. We don't hear much about Joseph. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Joseph was a man of God. Joseph had faith because an angel appeared to him as well and said, hey, Mary's pregnant. Huh? Mary is pregnant. So Joseph says, okay, because of this angel, I'm going to do the right thing. Okay? And he agrees to marry Mary. Christmas. And then he goes, and they got to report to Bethlehem, right? Why do they do that? So the government can get their money. Basically. They want to know who is going back to their main town, where their family is from, and I guarantee they taxed them at that point. They wanted to know where they were. Okay? But he had to take a journey. And I'd be remiss if I didn't share this story. You know, Mary was 9 months pregnant, a teenager. Have you ever driven in a car with teenagers? We like it. What? Here's the question that came out of my teenagers. Are we there yet? Well, that's probably the second most. The first one, can I borrow your phone charger? Right? Joseph didn't have any of that. You know what he had? He had a donkey, he had his wife, and he had his supplies. And I'm going to share it because I can. I know what Joseph felt that trip because he couldn't just get in the car and go. Years ago, I don't know how long ago it was, we had some coyote issues, we thought. So a friend of ours said, hey, we have a donkey you can borrow. It'll stay with your sheep. It'll protect the sheep, yada, 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 yada. Okay, cool. This donkey was kind of cool. His name was Fackler. And he knew his name. Donkeys are funny like that. But we adopted a, I don't know how old this dude was. He was probably 10 years old. A weather, black Southdown sheep. And he came up into our pasture. And this donkey, this sheep thought he was a horse because he had lived with horses all his life. So he, every mannerism was like a horse. Well, Fackler had never been, he'd just been around docile sheep. Well, this sheep was not docile. This sheep thought he was a horse. Fackler jumped my fence, took off. Pretty soon I see lights, state trooper lights at my brother's house. I thought, that's weird. Todd calls me and says, hey, can you come over here? Yeah. The guy had pulled into his drive and said, hey, you know anybody that's got a donkey? Todd said, well, my brother has one in the field. He's supposed to be helping with the sheep. Well, I just hit it. Todd was like, what? So I got there, state trooper, and he's in disbelief. He's like, you have to tell me this story again. So the guy went through the whole deal, and it boogered up his car pretty good. Well, Fackler didn't even buckle. He just walked off the side of the road back when cable was around. The cable guy was just coming home. It's like the 23rd, 22nd of December, something like that. Snowing to beat the band. This cable guy took some coaxial cable, put it through his halter, and was standing at his cable truck holding his donkey when I got to it. I said, that's mine. So, and you all know where I live. I live on County Road 46, right by Sipple's Farm there. So I got dropped off up on 19. That's around the first curve, about a half mile from my house. I thought, well, I'm not walking him on the road. So I decided to walk him through the field. So this is where I always say, I know what Joseph felt like with this donkey. Because as the crow flies, this was a half mile walk. But I'm telling you, I didn't realize how hilly those fields were. And how stubborn a donkey is. Because when Fackler didn't want to go, Fackler didn't go. So I waited. And when I came home, I walked up our driveway with this donkey in tow. I was covered in snow. You know, I don't know. We don't know if it was snowing that day. I don't know that. I'm not smart enough to know this. Above my pay grade. I just know that this story happened. But I know how Joseph felt. I know the sacrifice Joseph had to go through because I walked a half mile with his donkey. Joseph walked a lot further than that. And he had a teenage pregnant wife. Oops. So Joseph was the man. Luke 2:15 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds dropped what they were doing. I've already touched on this. But I want you, everybody, this is going to be crowd participation. In this room, there are 12 bags. Christmas gifts from me. And I'll be brutally honest, they're underneath your chairs. So I want everybody to look right now, see where the gifts are. There's only 12 winners today. And my family should not get a weak gift, I don't think. Hey, Isaac, slide over about 2 streets from your mom. But here's what I want you to take from that. It'd be appropriate because Christmas has put some hidden gifts throughout the room. The quick response from everybody proves the point about Christmas. When I say there's gifts, man, everybody looked. Everybody looked. But during this time of year, we are reminded that there is no gift more valuable than the birth of Jesus Christ. His birth gives us hope that our lives can change. His birth gives us joy because he offers us salvation. His birth gives us peace by making the difficulty we often struggle with. Yeah. But we often struggle with difficulty, and the difficulty is allowing Jesus to truly lead our lives, to turn ourselves completely over to him. So my challenge for you this year is, let's let Jesus have our life. Let's let Jesus lead our life. You know, much like leading. Think about everybody that everything that had to happen for Jesus' birth to take place. You know, it's not fiction. It's not fiction. It's true. But think about all of those things that had to take into place. You know, the shepherds visited. The hotel had to be full. Okay? If the hotel was full, it'd be a neat, tidy little box. Or if the hotel wasn't full, be a neat, tidy little box. That hotel would still be standing today, and it would still, the room that he was born in would still be marked. But it didn't happen that way. It happened, Jesus was born in a cave. And Jesus was laid in a manger when he was born. And we portray the manger as this cute little wooden thing. The manger actually was a concrete basin that they fed and watered sheep, goats, and donkeys out of. Okay? It was this big by this big concrete. You know why she wrapped him in cloths? So our Savior did not get marked up from that concrete. He was born very humbly. Everything about Jesus' life was humble. He was a rock star, but at the end of the day, he used ordinary people. He's using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And the story of his birth is amazing. I want us to take the story of Jesus' birth, take it out there every single day, not just Christmas. You know, as we all go to our family and parties and whatnot. I want us to share more than gifts and a meal. As you have received the new good news of Jesus, will you share this good news with others? Will you share the power of God's arrival among us? Because it could have been a lot simpler. Jesus could have not been born in Bethlehem, but we're pre-told where he would be born. This plan was in place long before Jesus' birth. That's why it's so impressive. And if our God can pull off all those things, do you think he can't pull off something you got in your life going on? So as we go into this, I want everybody to think about Christmas in a new light. And it's different for us this year because our kids are out of the house for the most part. Morgan is home still, but not home. She's working Christmas Day because she showed the maturity to say, hey, I'm going to work Christmas Day so somebody's got kids and not work. Cool. So it's a little different for Chris and I, but you know, it's made us reflect on what's important to us this time of season. Man, it's about being with family and friends, but it's more about what happened right here. The birth, the life, the death of Jesus. And he did that without hesitation. He did that without hesitation. So as we're going to close up here today, and I didn't read the passages again. You know where they're at. They're in Luke. Men read them. If you ever feel like you need something, read the birth of Jesus. It's a great place to start. We're going to close up. We're going to have an invitation song. Jesse and Les and I will be here. If you need to pray for anything, if you need to praise for anything, we'd like to hear that as well. And then when we're done with that, we'll come back. And I would like, if we could, to have everybody circle. And we'll light the candles, and we'll close with Silent Night, and we'll be good. But first song is O Holy Night, and that's our invitation song this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Lord, we just love you. We thank you. And if anyone is here that needs special attention today, Lord, just we know that you already know the situation. We know that you are in control of the situation, but let us bathe it in prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for the birth of your son and all the different little things that went into the birth and how perfect the timing had to be, but we know that it was on your timing, Lord. And we know that even with his death, that was planned and on your timing. Lord, we love that we serve such a magnificent God that has